Some may say we are a glutton for punishment, but we say we love our team, we're committed, and we are here through the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And boy, is it ugly.
It's not beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Do you remember having those conversations, PG, about, wow, I feel really bad for these fans who are getting to Christmas and their team are in a relegation battle and they suffer and... Hi, PG. How are you, babe?
Don't ask. I've got a lot to say.
That was my alter ego talking to you. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, hey.
Hi,
hello, everyone. Hi, I need to get in the chat. Hold on. I'm not in the chat yet. Hello, we're waiting everyone. For Alan.
Wait, okay, we have a very special guest coming on. Unfortunately, he's an Evertonian, but he's a realist and he's one of the media gurus in football. He's an
lovely
epic guy.
Evertonian.
And he'll be coming on... on the, Amanda, you got me on the, okay, good girl.
No.
Okay, right. Okay. Just like the classic song said, do you remember this one, PG? Where do we begin?
Don't know.
All right, everyone who's with us, thank you for sticking with us too and for joining us on this Saturday. You could be off having fun, but there's nothing to have fun about when your team is languishing in the bottom half of the Premier League. And once again, we have lost. And this is Arsenal's worst start in their history since 1974. I was 3 years old, and I'm not afraid to tell you how old I am by revealing that, PG.
I was five.
1974. All right, Amanda, I don't even – here's why I want to start. And once Alan comes on, we'll ask him. We're feeling so down too, Akram. We feel you. We feel you. That's cats. It's cats. Well, it's kind of my voice. Thanks, Jimmy. That's the Greek in you, I think. That's, you know, I sing like Anavisi. Tell everyone, AJ, Jimmy. Okay. Yes, Santa's elves. Sorry, Amanda, I'm all over the place. I'm just putting in messages because you know what? It's all about everyone and not just us. And I know you're trying to connect with Alan. Could he not recognize within the first 10 minutes Nketiah and Willian weren't going to work? Nketiah, as I said on the show the other day, is not a Premier League player. Arteta keeps putting square pegs in round holes. And if Casey was here, he'd probably start on his Sophie. But no, after how many weeks... The results aren't changing. You still play Willian. You're playing David Luiz. You're playing Ceballos in midfield. Yes, you've changed things just a tad. But how is it you're not getting a tune out of any of these players? Even Unai Emery got a tune out of these players. How is he not doing this? Something is broken. You can't sack 27 players. That's all I'm saying, people. And I don't want to sack Arteta. And I don't think it's fair to talk about that. But listen, Amanda, we've worked at corporate level. I've inherited teams that were broken. I can give you a perfect example of twice where I've gone into a job and I've inherited people that were ready to leave. They were ready to be sacked. And somehow, some way, I went in and I utilized my strategic leadership vision. All right. And it's happened to me when someone's come in as my boss. When I've been broken and I've wanted to leave and they've turned me around. This guy can't get a tune out of a karaoke machine. What is happening?
I'm going to start off on a little bit of a positive note. I thought Ainsley Maitland-Niles was superb. Was
Man
superb, yeah. We didn't play that bad. We're not having any luck, any rub of the green. Apart from that, I don't understand what Willian does to get in this team. I say it every week. I don't understand. We're too slow. We're not. I'm sort of lost for words. I think we should just answer people's questions because I don't know. You know, you have Louise who hits the bar. You've got...
What about Saka's chance,
in the
PG?
Last seconds, that beautiful that ball across the ball. No one was there. It's just not falling for us at the moment. It really isn't.
Okay, so... Akram says, do you think new players coming in this squad would add value? Listen, Akram, there's no doubt we miss Thomas Partey and someone of his influence in our midfield. There is no doubt that we have seen the difference. But even when Thomas Partey played in some of the games, we lost them. Because you know why? One man can't save a team, PG. One man cannot save a team. And Alex, you're right. Surely players have pride for their careers. What is going on? And Nalituba, we have you back. Remember Nalituba had to go offline for a little bit? We missed you. You didn't miss Arsenal, though, very much, did you? That's definitely the case here. And, you know, at the end of the day, we feel numb too extreme, RKO.
Evening, I do apologise. I'm just trying to sort.
Evening, Highbury kid. Evening, ladies. Hey, I'm too tired too. KC is luckily in Spain covering Spanish football. Maybe covering a new Unai Emery game. Just saying, you guys know my tune. You know where I've been. You can't poke Emery and you can't treat Emery the way you did. And you can't have a go at him for being a bad communicator. And you can't pick holes in what he did and continue to defend Mikel Arteta. This is now how many weeks, how many losses, our worst record since 1974. Christ, that was the Turkish invasion of Cyprus, for crying out loud, 1974. That's how long ago that was. This is rancid. This is, yes, and you know what? PG said it, though. We played a little bit better, but we can't find a way. And this is where you can't have Eddie playing instead of Lacazette, because eventually, like Aubameyang, Lacazette will score like Aubameyang did, right, PG? Do you agree with that?
Well, I didn't understand why he did drop Lacazette today. I was a bit confused. I was a bit confused by everything at the moment, to be honest. Oh, is this Al?
I think this is Al. Hello.
Sorry about that.
No.
I was going to say I'm too busy running around the living room celebrating, but I won't.
Al, can you just turn your, get closer to the microphone?
Yeah.
Struggle to hear you.
Okay, one second. Let me just turn it up.
That's better. Keep turning
it up.
Yes, that is. So, Alan, welcome to the show.
Now, just to remind everyone, Alan was the former communications director for Everton. And he is one of the gurus in football media, a sports news editor who's been in the game and actually worked with Mikel Arteta for a long while. Alan, congratulations on your win. It tastes like vinegar coming out of my mouth, but you know what? We didn't play too badly, did we?
Well, you know, I was just thinking there, you know, it's not one of Everton's best performances, I'll be honest. And I think we dropped back so deep at times in that game. There was a few moments where we pressurised Arsenal. But I'm going to say something now, and I don't like to say these things because, you know, we've been in that position that you're in at the moment. But I've been going to Everton since 1974, and that's the most disjointed Arsenal team I've ever seen. I've never seen a team... You know, I'm not going to say it was the worst team I've ever seen because, you know, there's some really talented players on that pitch. But as a team, as a team that has some sort of direction, I just didn't see it with Arsenal today. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what they were trying to do. And that's sad for me because, you know, you've got a fantastic record against Everton down the years. I've seen many of the defeats, you know, been a Highbury when you've won the title and, you know, and the Emirates I have to say very disappointed with Arsenal, but Everton, you know, dug in and got the result, but I don't think they had to play well to do that, unfortunately.
Alan, can you help me understand something here? Because you've been part of an Everton football club and you've seen some difficult times as well as good times. And one of the biggest arguments on the show and something that KC says is the players just aren't good enough. And one of the arguments that I come back with is that even Unai Emery went on a 22 unbeaten game run with this team. And whether we escaped some of those games or we played well in some of those games, we got results from those games. And he was, we were told that he was a really bad communicator. Arteta's come in as this knight in shining armor. I've said the FA Cup has masked the pain of what we're, where we're truly at, that we're not a Premier League team, we're a cup team now. And after so many weeks of bad results and really not putting in a decent performance, probably since the Sheffield United game, at some point, is it not also a case of the manager not being able to get a tune out of bad players too? Alan, talk me through that a little bit.
Well, you know, I did a podcast for Sky in the week and with Alan Smith, you know, the great Alan Smith. And as PD will testify, I'm sure. But, you know, what I said was, because one of the questions asked was whether or not you look at the two managers over a year. And I was there the day when both Arteta and Ancelotti were in the crowd in the director's box for that game. And, you know, I think it's unfair to start looking at the manager at this point and say,
yep.
Because I think what both Everton and Arsenal need is a period of stability, a period of building. You know, what we've seen, certainly at Everton over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, maybe since David Moyes left, is not so much with Martinez, but certainly at the tail end of Martinez. You know, we've seen a repairing situation, and every manager comes in. And when you have this, you've got to get out of this change of manager's cycle.
Yeah.
Because it just can't, it's just not good for the club. The only exception that I've ever seen work is Chelsea, and that was because they had a massively talented and rich squad, and it didn't really matter too much when the manager changed. But Mikel Arteta has come there with an ethos, a way he wants to play. You've got to let him do that. I know it's hard because we've had it, and we know we've been through it, and we know what it's like. But, you know, don't forget, we're the two longest serving top flight teams, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to sometimes just stick together. And you know, I know we've done it on many occasions. And I think they will. And I think they'll back Mikel. He needs a couple of windows to get it sorted out. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear about managers having to get a tune out, you know, and you're right. Those players have played well. You know, I mean, I saw when Mikel first came in, you know, there was a period where we were sort of 12th in the table and you were flying, you know, and you think, well, what's changed, you know? But it transition's never good in any football club. And I think that's what, you know, you to a great extent. And I think you've got bigger problems to sort than we did, with all due respect. You know, you've got much higher paid players, if you know what I mean, more high profile players that you've got to get sorted out. And I think that's the problem for you.
I also feel, Al, that, I mean, I'm with you on this. Sophie's different. I think she actually wants him out now. But I'm under the impression and the view that it didn't work under Emery, it didn't work under Freddie, it's not working under Arteta, it's the players, yeah? Kev's going to be on very soon, so he is very adamant about that. But what I don't understand, and there's certain things I really want to understand, Al, is he continues to play players that are not good enough. Willian should not be anywhere near this team. We've got Martinelli. We've got Emil Smith-Rowe was on the bench. We're desperate to see him. We've got a lot of great kids. Now, you of all people know that when Rooney came to your club, you put him on that pitch at the age of, what, 16, 17? I'm not saying we have a Rooney, but in my head, if you're good enough, you're old enough. Okay, why is he very apprehensive in starting these players? Now, he played Eddie today, and Nketiah has earned it, in my opinion, but to drop Laka, what he's not helping himself with people like Sophie and many people that now are starting to want him be gone is the team selection. That's the problem. And giving holding captaincy is a big, big thing for me, considering I watched Luiz today and he was more of a captain than anyone was on that pitch. You've got Aubameyang coming out and being like, well, not a captain now. And we have got big problems. But my point is, and I know we don't know what goes on in the week. You obviously a little bit more party to things like that when you was at the club. I understand they look at injuries, you know, knocks in the week. They look at all the, you know, the red zones and everything they look at. I get that. But why stick with a player like Willian who gives us nothing? Absolutely nothing.
Is this true too? His contract, maybe people are saying that there's a non-negotiable.
Who knows? I don't think anyone knows. But I mean, all right, Al, let's ask you that. Well, you know, would it be ever in a player's contract that they have to play? I don't believe that.
I don't believe any manager would ever buy that. So I'm sure someone would tell me a situation where that happened, you know, possibly somewhere down in the last 40 years or whatever. But genuinely, I would never believe that. And I don't think someone like Mikel Arteta would ever buy into that. I genuinely don't think that is the case. I've never seen it in all my 30-odd years in the game, you know, in and around football clubs. Yeah, I've never seen it, never heard of it. But I think what we've got to understand, and it's difficult to understand, is that, you know, we can all have our views when it's, whether it's Ancelotti, whether it was Marco Silva before him, you know, whether it's Arteta. They have to make the decision. They have to make, you know, we don't. We can speculate. We can say we should be doing this. We should be that. We can change our mind week by week. They have to make those decisions. Now, all I can say is that they must have a reason. You know, you're right. We don't see what goes on during the week. They must have a reason for making that decision, because no manager wants to make a bad decision.
Absolutely not. You know, but let me just give you a fact, yeah? Willian had 14 touches in the first half, fewer than any other player, and some of those were set plays. Now, I know you don't know constantly about Willian, but it is a bugbear of all of us fans, whether we want Mikel in or out or whatever we want, yeah? He still plays every single... And he still didn't get substituted today. It was bizarre.
Many people asked the question, didn't they, when you bought him? You know, let's be honest. You know, it's not a secret, you know, to say that people questioned you buying him, you know. And I don't know. I mean, you know...
Well, James is just...
Can you see Alan the screen? Because this is important.
Yeah. Right, see what James has put. We know James very well. And I think this has got a lot to do with it because of...
It just clicked off, sorry.
All right. They were saying that we're getting into bed with super agents. Well, Kia, for a start. And it's
Wolves are in bed with a super agent too, and it's helped them. So I guess it's what super agent you get involved with, Alan. And I guess that's the way of the world, isn't it? Yeah. Welcome to the show also, the big man, Super Kevin Campbell here, ladies and gentlemen. Alan, Kev's here.
Here's where it kicks off.
Yes. Casey's here. He will be defending what I've said and not what Sophie said. I can guarantee you that. But our going on to about the agent side of things, it's not helping us. And I do not understand. Kev, we're talking about Willian. I do not understand why he keeps persevering with him. But I'm with you, Alan. No manager picks a team to lose. Of course not. We're not stupid. But I do not understand why. What does he give us when we've got players on the bench?
But I also don't think Mikel Arteta would buy Willian if he didn't want him. You know, I genuinely don't believe that. You know,
Alan, he played against Fulham on our first game and was superstarish. Since that game, he's done nothing. That was August, September. I don't even know when it was. But he keeps playing him. That's my only issue with Arteta. I feel we need at least three transfer windows with him to get in the team that he wants. That's my 100%. Opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's where I'd like to kind of just rewind to. Super Kev, let's hear your dulcet tones. Newman wants me to give you hell, but I'm not going to do that just yet. Let's hear you, Casey. Well, can you hear us?
I'll be honest. Can you hear me?
We can.
Right. Do you want me to repeat what I've been saying all along? Do you want me to repeat it?
Just do one sentence, one second,
because your sound isn't that great. So let me just say, though, that when we played well the other day, no one was blaming the players, right? When we played better against Southampton, was it in the second half or whatever? But now we're blaming the players again. I guess they are shit. But
I told you, Sophie, it's always the players. It's always the players. Because when the team does well, the manager gets the accolade, right? And when the team does bad, the manager gets sacked. Don't forget that.
Yep.
And how many times have you seen players who are not good enough? And when I mean good enough, they might have the talent, but it's here and here. You need players who are committed. You need players who will fight. We don't have that, unfortunately. And I've been saying it for so many times.
Have you picked your right setting on your mic? Have you picked your setting on your mic? Can you check it's with your pods and not? Can you just do that? Because your sound isn't that great. Yeah. Okay, good. While KC does that, Alan. Yeah.
I have to agree with Kevin. You know, it is about the players. It's always about the players. You know, there's a great old saying, isn't there? The players have got getting the manager sacked. You know, and that is a true saying. You know, they will. And it's about players who want to go on there. You know, okay, you can always argue that down the years there's been managers who haven't necessarily, you know, been able to organise a team properly or, you know, motivate them possibly. You know, but at that level, at this level, Mikel Arteta knows how to motivate players. He knows how to organise players. You know, and I think it is down to, but those things can be, you know, you can't just switch on heart and you can't just switch on, you know, brain. And, you know, sometimes what happens, and I've been in football clubs where, you know, everything's going wrong. You know, it's a perfect storm, you know, and it just feels a little bit about like that with Arsenal at the moment, you know, and this is when more and more, I remember when we had a problem when this great man, Kevin Campbell, you know, played for us and we were in a lot of trouble, you know, and he came in and he turned it round because of heart, because of desire, because he led by example. And that's what you need at Arsenal now. Who is going to do that? I don't know.
Alan, can I just, sorry, Amanda, because this, I just want to put this up because this is one thing that's come from so many people on DM and on Twitter as well, and also from our YouTube chat. Why did West Brom sack Bilic? Because they know that there's a good chance that Sam Allardyce will get more out of the same players your old team brought up, Sam, as well. That's why you change manager, different voice, different ideas. And Alan, at some point, the players are really poor and the players are bad, but at some point, the manager does have to try and get a tune out of them. If West Brom can sack Bilic, what do you think about Tucky's comment?
Let's see. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, let's see how West Brom do now going forward. You know, and I know Big Sam has that history where he's got teams out of trouble. But it's a different story, you know. Dealing with West Brom, with all due respect, dealing with West Bromwich Albion is a different story to dealing with Arsenal and the Arsenal players. And, you know, these are some big egos and some big players, you know. And to deal with them, you know, you could argue the fact that he's a young manager, he's coming in, but he knows the game. He's not soft. He knows how players are. But I just think, and I know you probably all don't want to hear it at the moment, and I can do it from an outside, you know, but...
Tell the truth, Al.
Yeah, Al, can you turn your mic up as well, please? Because I'm getting a few people saying they can't really hear you.
And they want to hear you
because you're saying so many great things. Yeah, so
I don't know how I do that, to be honest, on my iPad, but anyway.
Just get nearer. Just.
Right, how's that? Is that better?
No.
But carry on. We'll figure it out.
Well, I don't know where my mic is.
So this is a good one too, because what Tucky just said about the manager, same thing. Look at Theo, inspired at Southampton, being man-managed better by RH.
He's got different players around him.
He's not being man-managed, but he's gone into December. A year ago, Southampton were awful. 9-0, you thought they were dead.
Manager turned them around, didn't he? Now they're
top four. The only place you can put it right is the training pitch.
Right.
That's the only place.
I would like to say something, though, and I've been in between you two for a while, and I agree with you, Kev. For me, it is the players. But why does he keep persisting with Willian? Why does he not put Emil Smith-Rowe on? These are my questions. And if I saw him now, that's exactly what I would ask him. I do not understand. But I do agree it is...
PG, you're gonna. Everybody's got questions. Everybody.
No, but there's a lot of people that want him out, Kev. That's the problem, and I don't. Yeah, I do not want him out.
Yeah, well, whether they want him out or in or whatever, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, Mikel Arteta is the manager at Arsenal, and he hasn't had time to build what he needs to build. So when I was emotional, the results like this, we don't like it. I hate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have to realize this is what happened because it's been coming 10 years. But now it's here. Let's not cry about it.
No, I agree, Kev. But you can't answer why he keeps playing Willian. That's all I want to know.
I've already answered that how many times, but I'll answer it again. He picks William because he trusts William.
Try not wearing your pods for a minute, Casey. I want to hear how that sounds. This is like a live Eurovision Song Contest here. Go on, Alan.
Can I just say, it could be that when you get managers who pick experienced players, which of course William is, it's because you know they need to balance the team. You know, and what William might do is bring some sort of balance to the team. I'm not saying that is the case.
He doesn't.
But there is a reason why he picks.
I understand
You know, and you have to trust the manager. There's nothing else you can do. You have to trust the manager to continue picking the players that he thinks are the right ones. As I say, we don't see it week in, week out. You know, on the training pitch, we don't know. You know, and a manager lives and dies by his selections. There's no two ways about it. But
obviously, you knew Arteta at Everton. What sort of man was he?
He's a nice guy. You know, he was really polite, but he was no idiot. You know, he was no fool, and I don't think he is a fool. I've been really impressed with, you know, but what you have in these situations is that you have to be calm. You know, people have to be calm, and that's the situation now. You know, if people start panicking, believe me, you don't want to get into that cycle. We've been in it for the last 5 years and we can't, you know, it's no good to a club, an unsettled club. You know, I can promise you, I've been in football clubs. You know, I was a director of Blackburn for 2.5 years and there was no more unsettled club than Blackburn. And, you know, it goes through the whole club like a disease at the moment, but it does. It goes through the whole club and it's not right. And you've got to just ride it through.
Okay, so here's how we're going to ride it through. All right, I'm going to put this to all of you. Casey and Amanda know that I have not been Arteta out. I've just been very critical of the fact that at some point I expect him to get some type of reaction from these players. The last two games, we've gone down and he's gone into the half. And I felt like he's got a reaction out of the players in the second half. Thought we came out in this second half and we played a little bit better. I thought the same against Southampton, got a reaction out of them. And at the same time, what Amanda's saying in terms of picking the same players. But when you look at someone put up a stat, and welcome to everybody in chat who's joining us post Everton and Arsenal here. We've got Alan Myers, the former communications director of Everton Football Club, a premier media guru in football for many, many years. And Super Kevin Campbell, live from Spain, has just been covering La Liga, myself, and PG, of course. And the scoop is that, look, someone said Ancelotti, that Everton are back to second in the league now. Is that right? Yep. Until tomorrow's results, right?
Really?
Both appointed at the same time. Now, Everton may, you could argue, did they have a better transfer window? I think, you know, Decore, is he better than Partey? No, but he's an upgrade. James Rodriguez, an upgrade. Some players, not all your players were playing today, Alan, as well. And you look at what Huizenhoutl did with Southampton. They lost 9-0, were humiliated. Somehow, he's got a tune out of these players and driven them back up the league. You have Dean Smith at Aston Villa. I'm sounding like KC says, Sophie, Sophie, Sophie. And then I sound like a broken record too, because he feels like he sounds like a broken record too. But Dean Smith, yes, Aston Villa, some good buys. Watkins, a great buy. We're such snobs, Arsenal, Alan. We're such snobs when it comes to the transfer market. We think like we can't buy a Højbjerg, or we can't buy a Decore, you know, or we can't buy a Watkins. And it's just such snobbery. And that comes from the hierarchy for sure. Broken club, broken system, broken executives, inexperience from Vinay to Adu to Mikel. I mean, this is Arsenal Football Club, for crying out loud. And we've got interns running the show. And I think Arsenal fans who are questioning why Mikel can't get a tune out of these players when Emery did is valid. So you can't keep telling me when these other managers like Ralph Hasenhüttl, like Carlo Ancelotti, like Dean Smith, who have gone on and improved their teams, why can't he do the same? And welcome to all 400 people live in chat right now.
Why did Emery get sacked?
Emery got sacked because he started losing form in the league and he got us to a position not as worse as this and not as a bad. This is our worst form since 1974, Alan.
This is the last time Arsenal got fewer points from a 9-game run was 1987. But can I just interrupt because Arteta's spoken and I've got what he said. Without Arteta, without conceding much, we lost the game. We fought well and dominated the match. I don't know if we dominated, but I do believe we played all right. We created enough chances to not deserve losing the game. Luck was not on our side. And I tweeted about luck. Can't fault the spirit. We lost against Burnley without conceding any chances from our opposition. We generate enough situations to score goals. We're making it difficult for ourselves conceding first. We have fighters in the dressing room and the boys are together. So he's coming out and saying the same things roughly at every match. It is tough, Alan, at the moment for us.
Go on. What else?
I want Kevin Allen to answer what I said. I want to know why Ralph and Dean and Carlo can get a tune out of their players and a tune out of their team when Everton have been crap, Southampton have been crap, and Aston Villa have been crap. Why can they get a tune out of their players and Arteta can't? Why?
But he has done, hasn't he? You know.
No, he hasn't. We won the FA Cup, Al. We're a cup team. Yeah. I'm talking about the Premier League. It's very different,
yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. You know, I get that. But what I'm saying is, it's not just about whether the manager can get a tune out of them. You know, it's about so many other things. You know, like I said before, it's a perfect storm. It is, and listen, ultimately, the manager is responsible. And the manager has to, as Kev said before, the manager will live and die on results. You know, that's what happens. But it's just not solely with the manager. It can never be solely with the manager, you know. And this is a manager who's a year, is it now, you know, into his tenure. You know, I can't give you the answers, if I'm being honest, you know. But all I'll say is it's never just the manager. Never.
No, I agree with that.
There's a lot of stuff goes on at football clubs, which, you know, and just, you know, listening to his comments there, he has to just stay strong. He has to stay upbeat. He has to stay, he can't start throwing the toys out as much as he probably wants to at times. You know, he's got to keep that team with him to try and get through what they're going through at the moment.
I love Alan. We're getting some really funny comments as well, which is kind of sad in our chat as well. I mean, let's blame Bellerin. The dude wasn't even
just
playing
move on.
Tonight. Yeah. And just move on. We did have chances tonight, Casey. Saka had a great chance. I mean, there were some good chances. And Amanda was talking at the top of the show. That cross from Maitland-Niles at the end, there was nobody there to tap their foot. All it needed was somehow to just be on the end of it.
But it's the manager's fault.
Yeah, it is. It's the manager's fault.
He's got a manager on the side that he's got to go on the pitch and put the balls in. Listen, I've said it all along and I'll keep repeating myself until I'm blue in the face. Once the players cross that white line, it is down to them. Managers have built reputations on committed players. More experienced managers have done the same. They've done nothing.
Exactly. I was just about to say Wenger didn't get anything better out of it.
Are you telling me Jurgen Klopp couldn't get a result with this team?
Probably not.
Are we seriously saying that Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola?
I think what you're misunderstanding, Soph, is you think that the manager... I'm not misunderstanding anything.
I'm not understanding anything.
Yeah, he can only work.
I never said magic wand.
He can only work with what he has.
They're uninspired. You know what? Arteta has an ego himself. He's 38 years old. Okay. He's still a dude. And he's treating his mates better. And he's slapping younger players and then putting his arm around others. Okay. He's got a lot to learn about man management. I don't know that. Guendouzi's in Germany. Ozil is tweeting polls for 350 grand a week. Okay. Everyone gets benched. Meanwhile, his buddy Willian goes to Dubai on a jolly and just doesn't get dropped ever. Please don't tell me that I don't know that. I know that, and every Arsenal fan knows that.
Whose fault is it, though? That
he needs to manage better, Casey.
Who brought these people to the football club?
When Emery was managing too, okay.
No,
when
who brought these people to the football club?
The managers did and the executive team did. The people responsible for transfers.
More experienced managers than Mikel Arteta manage these players. Got nothing out of them. A lot more experienced managers manage these players and got nothing out of them. Is that true?
Of course it's true, but at the same time...
So why all of a
sudden... Arteta hasn't been on a 22 unbeaten game run with these same crap players, Casey. How did Emery do it?
But what I'm saying...
What I'm saying is he did that. Answer the question.
Right.
I couldn't even hear your question, so I was just going to say, I can't hear you, so could you please repeat it?
How is it Unai Emery, and Alan, I'd like you to explain this to me too. I keep bringing it up because it's never been answered. How is it Unai Emery went on a 22 unbeaten game run with these same supposed crap players who crossed the white line and are rubbish? How did he do that? Arteta has won how many games this season? Answer me that question. How is that possible?
He's won four however many games he's won. But Sophie, Unai Emery done what he done with the squad. But he won nothing. He done nothing. Nothing was...
Into a European final is not nothing.
Okay. You two, can you... Alan?
Hold on a minute. The same problem that was there under Wenger was there under Emery that is there now. That's my point.
You see,
what
you're forgetting here as well is that this is this problem that you've had when you had it with Emery, you had it at the end of Arsene Wenger's reign, you know, this only gets better, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is what I'm saying, you know, when you have that situation, you know, unfortunately, Mikel Arteta, of course he has to get results. Every manager has to get results, but he has to build something. You cannot expect the manager to come in and change the club in a year. It just doesn't happen. You know, we've had, in Everton, we had Marco Silva, before that we had Roberto Martinez. You know, we've had managers coming in who have tried to do that, and we got rid of them because it wasn't happening. You know, you can't, okay, you know, in Roberto Martinez's case, he had a few more years, you know, but you know, these things, and as I said before at the start, you know, at Arsenal, you've got bigger problems than most teams, you know, because you've got these players on high wages, really difficult situations to try and solve for a manager. And at the same time, he's got to try and get results. You know, were you talking about that pass that came across the goal before? When you're confident and when the club is in a good way, that goes in. Somebody makes that extra yard and gets there. Yeah. That's the simple fact of it. You know, but at this moment in time, when you're down, and this is when a club needs the support and needs the supporters.
I would also say, Al, that we're struggling for not... I think the players are struggling from not having the fans there. For Arsenal, I really think... I mean, I watched your team had most... your grounds had most of the fans behind the goal, which is what Arsenal should have done. One stand full of... And you could hear them, and they were passionate, and they were like your 12th man, and Arsenal have got no one. You know, again,
we did that in the last game. I don't think we did. I think we put them up in that, and I know.
Yeah, do you know the first? The first club I think did it was Tottenham, and it made such a difference. And I kept saying, why don't Arsenal put me in one bloody stand, get behind the goal at the North Bank, and help? But they didn't. And at the moment, we're not going to have fans because unfortunately, London's in Tier 4, and don't even get me started on that. But I know. But but I think it does help with that. But I would also say that one of the things that you need in football, and I know everyone's going to say you've got to make your own luck, is a bit of the rub of the green, a bit of luck. When you are on form, it goes for you. It really does go for you. I know you have to make your own luck, but I tweeted about this about 70, 80 minutes in. We had a shot that could have gone in, but it hit one of your defenders. A slight inch away, it may have gone in the goal. Nothing is falling for us, Al. And at the moment, I can't see that changing. Every game I go in, I actually predicted 2-2 for this today. I thought after managing to might finally score in open play and get a point against Southampton, who are a really good side, you know, you and I have been talking this week, and I told you you'd have nothing to worry about, absolutely nothing.
Because he did have a bit to worry about, actually, because I don't think it was, you know, I don't think Everton played well.
No, you didn't, and we did play better than we have, but again, Al, rubber the green. We didn't get it.
But the thing is, you cannot, Mikel Arteta can't sit there waiting for the look to change. You know, he just can't do that. You know, he has to find a way of getting this squad together. And like I say,
he needs to make two little changes. And then what are those changes?
Al, so Dimitri Yates on the screen right now in KC. What is Arsenal's style of play under Arteta? Can someone please tell me? I think that's a great question. What is it? I didn't see that today.
I didn't see that today. I didn't see what...
KC missed the top of the show, Al. Can you just repeat what you said so KC can hear it?
I've been watching Everton-Arsenal games at Goodison Park since 1974. I've never seen a more disjointed Arsenal team as I saw today. You know, I've never seen a team from Arsenal who you looked and thought, where is the threat? You know, there was no threat. You know, and it showed because Everton sat deep for long periods of the game and almost invited Arsenal on. I was sitting there turning my hair out thinking, why are we sitting so deep? Why was it? And they couldn't do it, you know. But as we said before about the cross, and you know, things were just not, the end product just wasn't there. And that was the, I think that from me, from looking from outside, that was the more worrying thing, I think, about Arsenal today. They just didn't seem to have a direction.
Do you know what? Al, let me just say something here. I'm seeing some comments coming up, some absolute nonsense coming up about playing bad is coached into the players. I've never heard so much nonsense in all my life. The problem that people do not understand is this. You can do all the work on the training ground that you want. Arteta has proven that he can get a tune out of these players. He's proven it. But here's the thing. Once the players cross that white line, the players have to perform. That's what the business is. And the players are not performing. Yes, as I've said previously, on Arteta's head, it falls. But don't think that the hierarchy don't know what is in that dressing room. Trust me. Make sure, don't think that the hierarchy knows he's got to get a load of them players out. And as a fan base, if we're honest, have we got a good squad?
But we haven't had a good squad. Go on, Casey.
We haven't got a good squad. So how do we build anything if the manager isn't given the time and allowed to build? Yeah, we're going to go through some pain. We are going through pain now. It's been coming for 10 years. And all of this fan base was qualifying in the top four, lapping it up, thinking, yeah, we're a Champions League team. All of a sudden, the league started getting good. And for the last few years, we haven't qualified. Why? Yeah. With the same players, we haven't qualified. Why? Because we are not the same Arsenal.
We used to qualify for the Champions League with Shamak playing up front.
Yeah, but here's the thing, not stronger then. It was weaker. Now that all the clubs have got money, everybody's strengthened. Arsenal,
as you say, Kev,
still.
In those days, there was no Leicester. There was no Wolves. You know, these teams are now challenging. Yeah. Everton have suffered for it as well. You know, Everton were always sort of around fifth, sixth, seventh maybe. But we suffered for it as well for the last few years because there are teams coming forward. And what's the difference in them? They've built teams. And that's what's happened. You know, Leicester have built a team. Wolves have built a team. You know, it's... I've just seen that one.
I mean, that's never going to happen in any day of the week. So let's just let that one go, shall we?
No, but, you know, it's true, this. And I just think you've got to give this guy a chance to build something. You know, if you're going to, you know, go change your manager, but then you might start again with the same problems. And then it might not be Arteta. It might be somebody else that you're saying this is not good enough.
But Alan, do you agree with Vance? Isn't the league better too because there's a better quality of managers? Look, from that time I said Pep's come into the league, Jurgen Klopp's come into the league. We've seen Antonio Conte that's come and gone from the league. You know, the money has made a difference, of course, too, every year. You know, enhancements on TV deals, sponsorships, commercial sponsorships too. Teams have more money to spend, but some of them spend their money wiser than others. You could say Wolves, but Brighton.
No one would have said Nuno was a top manager when he first came with Wolves, you know, but he's done the job.
But what Alan made the point is very good. Every team we play now, we would have had teams years ago that had gone Burnley. Oh, yeah, we'll do Burnley. We can't beat anyone at the moment because the league has improved, is what Casey said. So we're not going to go to any ground. I mean, we are probably worse than anyone at the moment, probably on form. But I would just like to read a little quote, which I think is typical of what I think is going on at the moment. It come from Charlie Watts. He said, "Very noticeable that there is plenty of bickering going on out there between Arsenal players. Luiz not happy with Elneny passing backwards all the time, telling him to move forwards with the ball. Elneny and Ceballos having words as well. Luiz, for me, should be captain. I said that last week. But it's not a happy place at the moment, so we have to support." But what I would say to you, Soph, is all the managers you've named, yeah, their players may be different to our players. Because as Casey said, the players aren't on the pitch. The manager's not on the pitch, is he? He's not on the pitch. They cross that white line and they have to perform their job. But my issue is stop persisting with Willian and bring on Smith Rowe and let's see what we can do. That's my only issue with Arteta.
I'm just going to say one thing. Looking at the comments, I've seen three or four which say the manager's lost the dressing room.
Yeah.
I remember watching those same comments about Unai Emery, you know, and you just then say, well, what's the theme there?
Yeah.
You know, and you have to think about that.
Exactly. What the players?
The players have been the theme since Wenger, Alan. That's the truth. And they've been underperforming. But okay, this is a question.
You can't get rid of every player.
No, you can't get rid of every player.
10 we need to get rid of.
Yeah, 10 and the manager now. The $64 million question is this: we've won 4 FA Cups in 6 years, Al.
Mm-hmm.
These same players have found a way. In one-off matches, okay, granted, very different. We talk about this a lot on our show. But still, somehow, they found mental strength to win the FA Cup. Now, in the FA Cup, you're playing lesser opposition. But what's happened here, Al, is that the FA Cup has then given us this false hope and sense of security that every year at the end, when we win the FA Cup, we then feel we have a strong enough squad to go into the Premier League and compete in the Premier League. And the ownership sells us on that bullshit as well. And then Wenger sold us on that bullshit as well after 3 of his FA Cups. And this is where I agree with Amanda and Kevin in that, you know, you can't have and you can't not build on your team year on year, right? So we've won the FA Cup. We sell it to fans. We sell the ticket prices. We sell more season tickets. We get the new kit out and everyone gets excited. We sign Thomas Partey. This year is the Thomas Partey party. It's not a party without Thomas Partey. And we're sold the same thing, 2014, 15, 17 and 2020, 4 times. And yet the same thing happens every single time. And it's almost like a spit. You're in marketing and media and communications. It's like we're being spun. Well,
here's the thing. You know, let's just make the point that you're talking to a man who supported a team who last won the FA Cup 25 years ago. You know, so in that respect, but from what I would say to that, you know, is that maybe if you're winning FA Cup, you know, people, a lot of clubs see the FA Cup as the first trophy they win to build on and to get that winning mentality. So what's happening after you've won the FA Cup? Why is that not being built on? You know, why aren't you progressing like other clubs do, like Liverpool have done? You know, Liverpool in the last few years have progressed. People laughed when Jurgen Klopp took his team to celebrate a 0-0 draw in front of the Kop against West Brom. Well, that was him building something between the fans and the team and the club. And this is what you've got to get. You know, getting together and being a team and being a club together will never guarantee you winning. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have that, you'll guarantee not to win. I'll promise you that. You know,
do you know, sorry, Garner.
Sorry, PG, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I have an issue with fans that ridiculed Klopp for doing that on the 0-0 with the West Brom. I remember that. And yeah. I've got a crush on Jurgen Klopp, and I have done for many years with him, because I love him as a manager. I love the fact that Harry parades up and down that touchline. Yeah. Harry is as a manager. Harry gets those fans, how they love him as well. I mean, obviously he has brought success, but it took time as well, when he gradually brought his players in as well. I love that sort of, that he celebrated a 0-0, yet he got ridiculed everywhere. A lot of, obviously, as you know, clubs don't like Liverpool for the reasons of their fans. Yeah. I think Liverpool are a fantastic club, and I've always had I love Everton as well, as you know, but I wouldn't have an issue if we end up winning 1-0 against whoever we're playing next, because I've lost count who we're playing. I've got a feeling it's Chelsea. Yeah, lovely. If we beat Chelsea 1-0, well, there's no one to go and parade, to be honest. There's no fans there. But I would have loved that. And I think it does bring it together. But people see that as a cockiness, a celebrating. When we won the cup, we did those pictures and stuff, and we got ridiculed. Oh, it's only the FA Cup. You're rubbish in the league. But as you said, and this is a point, Soph, ask any Evertonian, they'd love to win the FA Cup. Absolutely love it.
We'd take the league cup.
The league, I was going to say that as well, Al. But I'll this is where fans have gone wrong. Al, if you look in the I can see the chat, they're all saying, what's the FA Cup? Means nothing.
It's because we've won it 4 times in 6 years. That's why we've become
complacent it every year.
And a bit rude about
I'll
it, to be honest
Papa
with
John's
you.
Now.
Sorry?
I'd take the Papa John trophy at the moment.
And I get that. And so would any Evertonians as well.
Okay, so let's get back to the game real quick. So you're listening to the Alan, how much time do we have you for? Another 10 or
as long as you want. I'm not
okay, fantastic. Because now I've
he's not going out boogieing tonight, are you?
Okay. And I agree, a trophy is a trophy. And I'm not being disrespectful to the FA Cup. I've just been really honest and said that this year I would sacrifice winning the FA Cup to just be competitive in the Premier League again. There's nothing wrong with me wanting that as a fan.
No,
and
there isn't.
You may agree or disagree with me, but maybe I'm spoiled because we have won it 4 times in 6 years. And, you know, other fans and Evertonians would love to win the FA Cup, but Everton haven't won a trophy since the 80s. It's different. We've been much more successful and we get spoiled with that. And this is why the sky's falling now, because Arsenal Football Club are in a relegation fight. We've never seen this before, Casey. And that is why.
It's actually the 90s, Sol. They won it in the 90s, didn't they?
95.
Won it out?
95. Yeah, 95, yeah.
Yeah, you know, 95.
Look, I missed it by 10, 15 years. It's all right.
Look, Sophie, again, this is what I will say. Because this has been coming, we got told the dream and sold down the river.
Yep.
Arsenal fans lapped up Arsene Wenger finishing in the top four as if it was a trophy. And things have not been right at the football club for 10 years. For the first time in all those times, everybody knew we needed a centre-half and a centre-midfielder. In one window, Mikel Arteta addressed that. And I'm not saying that's going to turn us into challenging for the league. It is not. But the key is, how can experienced managers not fill those gaps? And Arteta recognises what he needs. So the little money that he had, he went out and got who was available in. At least he's got some people in the building.
Kev.
The problem is, everyone, when he thinks he can rely on these players, he picks them and they are not performing. When players do not perform, managers get sacked.
Yep.
Arsene Wenger's gone because the players didn't perform. Unai Emery's gone because they didn't perform. Freddie Ljungberg gone because they couldn't perform. And now Arteta is under serious pressure because the players perform at one stage as a cup team. But when it comes to consistency, no. They can't perform. And it's not, And it's not that they're not prepared. It's not that Mikel Arteta sends them out negative. Nonsense, hogwash. He sends them out to win every game. The fact of the matter is the players are not good enough.
And that's so like Amanda and I keep saying, Casey, why doesn't he, and Demi Youssef, thank you, why doesn't he start using, get rid of the deadwood that's let Wenger down, that's let Emery down, that is letting him down, that let Freddie down, that let everyone down, and the fans and the club, and embarrass us time after time after time in the Premier League? Why won't he bench Willian? Xhaka and Bellerin, thank God, have been benched because of red cards, Al, you know, because of suspension. Yeah, but, so he was forced into making those changes.
Don't forget, you know, Kev will know this, you know, the hardest thing in football is to get rid of players. That's the hardest thing to do. You can bringing them in is well, maybe not as easy as that, but it's easy. But getting rid of players, changing players, it's taken Everton about 4 or 5 years to get rid of players that they didn't want and to change the squad. And it's still not done. You know, there's still 4 or 5 players at least in the Everton squad that are surplus to requirements. So it takes time. And this is what I'm saying. And I fully accept that in that time, you've got to get results. I get that, you know, but you know, you change your manager now, and I'll tell you, in another year's time, who'd you bring in? Secondly, in another year's time, it's not happening. What do you do then? You know, you've got
no,
to
you build. Sack again, Big L.
Exactly.
You sack again, because that's exactly. What, this is the cycle that the fans
yeah.
want. No, it's not. Not no, fans like me. Not, so, no.
I never said you. I said the fans. It's so reactionary.
Well, I'm a fan.
But what we got to do, we got to take the emotion out of it. Take the emotion out of it and let's look at the cold, hard fact. We done a Kev Says the other day, Sophie.
We did.
Let's look at the cold, hard facts of what Arsenal are. Arsenal are a club with a broken culture. We are 100%. Not the same team. We used to go and be a Harrods team. We are not. We can barely go to Marks
we
and
can't
Spencer's
meet.
Now.
We're Do you remember my, Mr. Byright? Remember that shot, Mr. Byright? That's who we are right now.
Not the owners.
Now you're talking. Now you are talking. Listen, now you're talking. So, because whether we like it or we don't, the fans have to get real. We are not the Arsenal that we were used to. We are not.
We had a really... Go on, Amanda. Go on, babe.
I was just going to say... One of the things that is so obvious is that so many top-class professionals in our club are not stepping up to the plate. They're not. And they're earning money, they're earning pounds, and they're not earning it. So what he's trying to do is trying to motivate them to play on the pitch week in, week out, and they're not doing it. So I don't know where we go from here, because the longer this continues, us not winning, and we get into this relegation dogfight, I don't know what the club are going to do. He will live and die by his results. Now, if you do bring someone else in, I'm sorry, I think it's going to be the same. So if I think in a year's time, we'll be sitting here saying, blah, blah, why can't he do this? It's the same thing. It is, unfortunately, what we've been left with. We knew when Wenger went, it was going to be a massive transition period. I don't think we thought it would be as terrible as it has been the last 10 or 12 games.
Okay.
But I want to stick with him, and I've said that anyway.
So let me ask you guys this. There's someone, Alex, giving you some kudos there, KC, for your appearance on Amazon Prime. Very nice. He was wearing very sexy shoes. Those shoes were killing it, by the way. Nigel Pearson, Alan.
Yeah.
Saved Leicester, right? Yeah. And then got the sack.
Yeah.
Carlo Ancelotti, did he not get sacked in the stairwell at Everton after winning the double for Chelsea? Vicente Del Bosque, I mean, you know, lots of managers. You were there that night. Lots of managers. Then Leicester, the following year, after Nigel Pearson saved them from relegation, went to win the Premier League. My point is only this, guys, please, if you can help me. There's no sign of improvement at all, other than the last two games in the second half moments, right? And so you've got to look at who he picks and how he's setting the team up. So again, if these managers can get improvement out of players, whether they're the same players in a team or they're different, How is it we're not seeing any improvement? And a few people have put in a question for Amanda and Casey, and Alan will ask you the same question. I think Teddy asked it here. What is the cutoff point? If we lose to Chelsea and we sink further down the table, Casey, what is the cutoff point?
The cutoff point is give him time. Is give him, listen, whether people like to hear it or not, again, everybody just seems like they want to sack. But if you sack, you don't build. Chelsea aren't into building because all they do is they bring a high-profile manager in, give him a skip load of cash, and he's already got a world-class players squad there, and they say, kick on with that.
Yeah. But what they do is just they top up the tank, you see.
It's been broken for 10 years.
Yeah. Did you see what that guy said, though? Lundberg said the players are rancid. There was a quote that just came in.
But we know that already.
Yeah.
We know it's been rancid. And you know what happens with cancer? If you let it, it will eat everything in its path. This is 10 years in.
Alan.
My answer to the question is, you know, that every situation is different, you know, and the starting point is crucial. You know, these managers that you mentioned, you know, the Pearsons and other managers, you know, it's a very different situation they've come into. You know, what Mikel Arteta has come into, as Kev and you and PG have talked about, is a very difficult downward spiral. And that's so hard to manage. And it really is. And the only way you're going to get out of that is to allow it to happen and to allow it to... Yeah. Listen, there will come, whether we like it or not, or whether we think it's right, there will come a cut-off point. And if you are, which I don't think you will, but if you are, and it's easy for me to say, I know, but if you are down in the bottom three, or, you know, you find yourselves in that situation, yeah, there will come a cut-off because, you know, fans' pressure will get to owners and they will get to chairman and whatever the structure is at Arsenal, you know, but it won't solve the problem for me. You know, it doesn't see it. It's got to be built. Something has to be built.
Alan and Casey, have you seen, and PG, you seen the comments? Great. Liverpool sacked Rodgers after he took them to second, and someone else made the point saying, so Liverpool shouldn't have sacked Rodgers and missed out on Klopp. Rodgers needed time, didn't he?
Yeah, but Rodgers got him to second. Their plan was to get Klopp in. It's a different situation, different club, different everything. If they've sacked a manager at second, they've obviously got an idea of who's coming in next. This is a very different situation. They obviously had a plan and Klopp was at the end of the plan. That's why.
BG, there's a reason why Rodgers got sacked.
Go on.
Of course there's a reason why he got sacked.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. But...
You understand what I mean? There's a reason why you get sacked. If you're finished...
And he got second.
Yeah. You finished second, you should have won the league, and you get sacked. There's a reason. There is a reason why. So you can throw all this onto the table, no problem. But the fact of the matter is, every club is different, and fans don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You don't realise
how difficult
it is.
I agree.
Can I ask this question to you guys? Because it's not like this 600 people in live chat. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We are very grateful that you're spending your Saturday night with us. I hope you have a cup of tea or a drink, hardcore, you know, whatever your tipple is. Cheers to you and for joining us. We really appreciate it very, very much. And happy holidays to everyone. And stay safe out there. The world is crazy and Arsenal are making it crazier. But lucky for Alan, his Everton won tonight and they're second in the league. So I'll start with you, Alan, here on this one, right?
Yep.
Mikel Arteta isn't even an Arsenal legend. He was a very nice player for a few seasons and was our captain for a while. You could argue, actually, the last proper captain, maybe, before we destroyed the captaincy of Arsenal, even. He's not Gerrard. He's not Lampard. He's not Ole. Let's do it this way. Lampard at Chelsea, Ole at United. The reason why Ole's gotten so much time at United is because he's a club legend. And you could argue, well, if they stuck with him, and they went from 14th, 15th last season and got third and qualified for the Champions League. They've got better talent than us, though. You say Lampard didn't have a transfer window, but somehow he got a tune out of his players and qualified for the Champions League, finished top four last season. So I guess in my hope of hopes, I'm hoping that Arteta might do the same and take us from where we're at right now. And I just want to finish in the top half of the table, let alone finish in the top four. But the difference is those players had the belief and the fans behind them, and they were more legendary players. Do you kind of see what I'm saying here? Agree or disagree? Do you feel like there might be a beat where he could do that?
Yeah, I do think the legendary player bit is a bit of a fallacy, to be honest.
So do I. I was just about to say that.
I don't think it really matters because, you know, I've seen legends come in, managing Everton, and it's not gone right. But what I would say is that, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's all about the starting point of where Mikel Arteta's come into. And as Kevin said, as you've said, as PG have said, you know, this isn't just something that's just happened now. You know, this is a club which is in, you know, you've had all the changes at the board, you know, for first of all, just a few years ago, as we know. You know, we've probably benefited from that in some respects. But, you know, when you've got this unsettled football club, this is what happens. And somehow, some way, that club has got to come together. Your club has got to come together from the very top right down to the very bottom, right down to the, you know, I don't want to say the kit men at the bottom, but you know what I mean? You know, right down through the club, through the players, through the management staff, everything. They've got to do it. And whatever it takes, but I just know from experience, it doesn't happen by swapping and changing. Like in this situation, it doesn't happen. As you said before about Chelsea is a different kettle of fish because usually their squad is, you know, is the way it is, and it needs just a little bit of tinkering and topping up at times. Okay, maybe the last couple of years it wasn't like that, but you know, and you've got to, you know, it's easy for me to say because it's not my side who are getting beaten and down there in 15th place or whatever it is, 14th place. You know, it's not easy, you know, but they have to back him. You know, they have to back him.
Can I just pick up on a point that Sophie said? I don't believe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is at United at the moment still because he's a legend. I think they've got a plan and they're building on that plan because he has had many results that were dire and they've kept with him. You have to, if the directors believe that Arteta's right, they're going to stick with him with the plan. And I do believe there is what Carl just said about our transfer window in January is so, so important. But come next summer, Ozil will be gone. There'll be quite a few, hopefully, that will be gone. And then he can start. What we need to do, obviously, is avoid relegation and start winning games. And then he needs to build. But for everyone to want him out so quickly is a joke. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is not his team. So going back to Rodgers, Liverpool had a plan. Klopp was obviously part of that plan. Because if you're going to sack a manager who's second in the Premier League, there's a reason.
But there was a longer term plan for him. They just escalated the plan and moved it forward, Casey. That's how it works. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know, you could talk to a lot of Man United fans, and I have a lot of people in my family, United fans. They don't think there's been much of a plan for the last 2 years. He certainly doesn't have a plan when he plays. He's just lucky he's got better players that get him out of a hole. That's what's happened at Man United.
He's got some great players there.
He does, Alan, doesn't he? And you can't tell me that Man United's board have had a plan for the last 2 years.
Well, I think they've got a plan. Whether it's the right one is another thing, but I think they have a plan, you know. But whether it will come to fruition, you know, and as PG says, you know, will they give him the time? They give him, you know, other managers lost their jobs, you know, in the same situation at Manchester United over the last few years, and they won trophies, you know. So, you know, it's like I say, all things are different, all clubs are different, all situations are different, and I just think, you know, once you start comparing clubs and managers, it's very dangerous because, you know, like I say, and like Kevin said earlier, you know, there are things that are going on in the club which we don't know about, and we don't know what he's dealing with, and that's the problem.
Because
there was something in chat, and PG and Casey and a lot of Arsenal people turned on Emery a lot quicker than this. Why?
No, I didn't.
Yes,
I
just you guys did.
No, no, I didn't. I got told off for not turning on Emery quicker. If you go back, I got told off. I actually said we should stick with Emery, and I got lambasted on Twitter. I was one of the last to want him to go, and then, yes, it was right that he should have gone. But really, people have short memories because I wasn't. Even Carl will say that. I really wanted Emery to work. I met Emery at the AST, and obviously we were talking about Axe. There's a new show coming up with Axe next week. And I was at an event where Emery was unveiled to us, and I loved him. I fell in love with everything he said. So, no, I didn't want Emery to go. I just wanted to put as quick as everybody else. I didn't. Anyway.
Okay, so here's where we're at right now, you guys, okay? £75 million player who can't pass. I mean, he's useless. He's bloody useless. People, jeez. Anyway, come on, don't tell me Pepe played well today. He was rancid again. He's not an us. He's not for us. And we can't, we couldn't even get 20 million for him now.
The only one that played well today was Ainsley and maybe Kieran, but that's it.
Kieran's been rancid too the last few games. KC, over there in Viva España.
Just one thing, Sophie. One thing, yes, just mate. While you said that, let me just tell you something. Let me just read something to you I've got here. I get a load of stuff. Nicolas Pepe has more goal involvements in all competitions than any other Arsenal player this season.
I know. I've said that a lot, Alan, that his stats are a lot better than his aesthetics. It's incredible.
So he's not rancid then, is he?
No,
he's
not rancid. Because you know why? He could be better. Because he keeps the ball too long. He makes bad passes. Think of his stats and how much better they could be and how much more we could result in goals. And we're not even scoring goals and his stats are like that. It's bloody crazy. Yeah. Right, yeah. Super Kev. Our next game.
Thank you, Al.
What's that?
I said, thanks, Al, for reading the stat out about Pepe.
Our next game's, KC, Boxing Day. We could get punched in the mouth. Good Boxing Day match there. London Derby, Arsenal, Chelsea. Then we have Brighton away. We have West Brom away. And then we have Crystal Palace at home. In between that, we've got Manchester City in the EFL Cup quarterfinal. And we have Newcastle in the third round of the FA Cup. KC, tell me honestly, Arsenal, Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal, West Ham, West Brom, and Crystal Palace. How many points do you see? I'm going to each of you to answer this. How many points do you see us getting from those games, Super Kev? I'll start with you.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no clue how many points we're going to get because, as I've said, we are not playing well. I predicted we'll lose today 2-1. Right, I predicted that. We are not playing well. We're playing a little better after going down, but we are not playing well. But will the cup teams turn up against Chelsea? That's the other thing. Will the cup team turn up? Because we seem to do okay. I know it's only the Europa League and the kids are playing, but we seem to not have a problem in that. And as you said, Sophie, we're a cup team, and we are. We can get up for one game, but the constant grind of the league, we're not built that way anymore. We're not. So I don't know how many points, how many wins we'll get out of that. Not many, the way we're playing.
Alan, what do you think, seeing it from the outsider point of view?
Let me tell you a little story that's just happened. A few weeks ago, we played Southampton, we got beat 2-0. We played Newcastle, we got beat 2-1. We played Manchester United, we got beat 3-1. We beat Fulham. We got beat by Leeds. We drew with Burnley. And the next three games were Chelsea, Leicester and Arsenal. And everybody says, that's it. After the Leeds game, when we got beat 1-0, everybody said, and we drew with Burnley, they said, right, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble now. We've just got 9 out of 9 in the last three games against Chelsea, against Arsenal, against Leicester. You know, and, you know, who knows what can happen? It can change on a sixpence. You know, it really can. You've got to find that, you know, but it can go the other way, of course. There are games there, the ones you've mentioned, which you should be winning. There's no two ways about that. You should be winning those games. But it doesn't work like that. And, you know, and you know, they can't look at games and think, you know, Mikel Arteta, I'm sure he won't anyway, but he can't look at games and think we should get 3 points there. We should get 3 points there. You know, they've got to go into every game like it's, well, now they have, you know, because they've got themselves into trouble. But what I'm saying is a cautionary tale, you know, is that, you know, we had a terrible, you know, look. We all thought people were writing us off everywhere before we played Chelsea. You know, this was going to be the month of dread. You know, we've won three on the bounce against top teams. You know,
football's a funny old game.
So it's the best I can do for you guys.
I think we'll beat Chelsea.
Are you mad?
I think we'll beat Chelsea.
If he plays Balogun up front, and Partey's back, then you might have a chance.
But what Al just said has sort of given me a bit of spirit. They had three tough games and they hadn't been playing very well. You started off the season quite well, though, Alan, didn't you?
Oh, well, we were top for a good few weeks, you know. And then I think, you know, I think there were signs in some of those games that we were winning, which, you know, certainly the Brighton game where we were very lucky and we weren't, you know. But you take your luck and you take what comes and, you know, but it doesn't change anything with Arsenal. You know, with Arsenal, it's about getting that spirit back and getting some sort of togetherness again, you know, and it can happen, you know, like I say. And the thing is, you know, we've had it where James has been out and Coleman has been out and, you know, and we've got those results with the players who were deemed not good enough, you know. So, you know, it can change and it does change as much as you might feel.
You know what?
Now.
We need a bit of luck, Al. I know everyone thinks I'm nuts. I've seen the comments, but, you know.
Martinelli'll score another one at Stamford Bridge. Hey, guys.
I've watched Arsenal since 1974, whatever. I was four years old.
That's the last time we were this rubbish in 1974.
Yeah, we were. Right here. I don't remember it, obviously. And I have been through the days of Terry Neill and Don Howe, and a lot of you won't even know who they are. And I remember being in an empty Highbury Stadium with about 15,000 fans with my legs over the front of the seat, doing the slow hand clap, watching absolute rubbish. And then George Graham turned up and changed our world completely. And I'm just hoping Arteta can do that. That's what I pray, because I'm so desperate for him to do well. But I do feel, and it's an old saying, Soph, that football is a funny old game. Oh, we just need the rubber that green. Yeah, Saint and Greasy.
1 every Saturday.
I know.
73-74, you had 12 points at this stage of the season.
Yeah, it was bad. You know what? Can I ask you guys this before we start wrapping things up here? Thanks for joining us, everyone. This is the Highbury Squad. If you haven't subscribed and you've just joined us for the first time today, please do so. And if you don't, it's all cool. We'll still be friends. Hit that like button if you like us. And if you don't, again, we still love you. It's all good. It's the holiday season, so we got no ill feeling inside of us. Can I ask you guys this? KC, I'll start with you. And then we'll go to Al and PG. At the time, Arsenal had the chance to hire Ancelotti and Everton had the chance to hire Arteta and vice versa. Who got the better manager?
Well, the more experienced manager is Ancelotti.
Oh, that wasn't the question.
No,
that's a politician's answer.
Sorry?
That's a politician's answer.
No,
here we go.
Can I finish? Can I please finish up my answer about politician's answer? Am I allowed to? The more experienced guy is Ancelotti by a country mile. I think for where the clubs are, the managers at that club was the correct one. Ancelotti, Everton have a project that is going on with a new stadium. They need to build a team that when they go in that new stadium, and Al could tell me if I'm wrong, they need a team
he's not talking sense and the aliens have taken him away. You cut out, Casey. You cut out. Start at the beginning. You said Ancelotti in the stadium. Start from there.
Yeah. Ancelotti, there's a project to Everton that Ancelotti needs to build a team quick to make sure they're fully functional going into that stadium. That is so important. Yeah. And he will get money to spend to do it. Arsenal, on the other hand, are 10 years rancid. They haven't got pots of cash to spend. They need a manager who can come in, who can coach and develop young, talented players, as well as change the crap and the dross that we've got. Players that are unmotivated, players that have the talent, but they don't have the application, that don't have the heart and don't have the love for the club that we think they or thought they had. That isn't for Ancelotti. That's for Arteta. And I think both managers went to the right clubs, in my opinion.
Al?
I'd agree. You know, let me tell you, I got a phone call some months ago now, maybe 6 months ago. Arteta was having a great little spell with Arsenal. I think he'd won the FA Cup and, you know, whatever. And we were in 12th, I think it was. And this national journalist called me up and he said, in hindsight, did you get the wrong manager? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, it's 6 months. I don't know. You know, I won't even know in a year's time. You know, and this is where we are now. And the same thing is now, but in reverse. You know, we don't know. You know, what you might find is, you know, 3 weeks ago, there were some Evertonians, you know, questioning Ancelotti as the manager. That was 3 weeks ago. Now, what you've got to understand is in 2 and 3 years' time, it might be that Mikel Arteta was such an inspired appointment for Arsenal because he's built something. You know, that might be the case. It might not be, of course, but I just don't think you can look even after a year and say they got the right one. It's too early. It's just too early. And I think, yeah, okay, listen, you had a more of a guarantee, I guess, if you were buying a car that will perform right, that you know, that's fine. And you're buying a new model that no one really knows too much about. You know, you've got that, of course. Everton have the more experienced manager, but that doesn't necessarily mean. And what Kev is saying is it completely right. Two completely different jobs.
I would like to say something as well. I'm not making excuses, but we don't know in the last year how this has affected the players of any club with the COVID, what's gone on with their families, how they feel playing in empty stadiums. It's really hard to judge because teams are beating teams that we don't expect for a start. I mean, who would have thought Aston Villa would have beaten Liverpool? Was it 7-2 a few weeks ago? And then they just go and beat Crystal Palace tonight, 7-0. And Palace have been on a decent run. I just feel we need to just keep in the Premier League and let's see what happens over the next couple of years. I'm sorry, that's how I feel. I know everyone in chat is having a go at me. I can see it. Excuse me. And that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion as I am to mine. But we cannot keep changing managers. I'm sorry if you think it's excuses. We do not know what players are, human beings as well. That's it. We don't know how it's affected their families. They're in a foreign country with a disease that no one's ever dealt with, a pandemic before. We don't know how it's affecting anybody. Everyone is human. Remember that when they step on the pitch. What I don't like is the arguing. What I don't like is the lack of team spirit. I don't like we're not getting any luck. And the luck has got to change soon. We are starting to play a bit better. But... yeah, just ignore him. We are starting to play a bit better. But what I would say is this Arteta out, it can't continue. We just need to give him some time. That's all I want to say.
So Alan was the only one who really answered my question about the manager, really, to be honest, because the correct answer is Carlo Ancelotti. That is the correct manager.
You don't know he would have done it at Arsenal with these players. You don't know that.
What Alan said, though, is the right answer in that for the time is that Arsenal went for, based on what they had, right, is that they probably went for the better manager. But the only reason they did that is because he was an ex-player and he was cheap as well. So,
but you really, don't know that Ancelotti would have done anything at our club.
I don't know that. Nobody knows that. I'm answering the question too and saying Everton hired the better manager. Everton hired the better manager.
They hired the
better manager.
That's what I said. I said the most experienced.
Yeah, if you ask that question.
That wasn't the question. It was the question was who hired the better manager, not the most experienced manager.
They've hired the manager that suits them, Sophie. I mean, better manager. Mikel Arteta hasn't been a manager. So how could he be better than Ancelotti? That's a stupid question. Arsenal hired Mikel Arteta because he can work in the restraints of the football club.
Yeah, but Ancelotti probably wouldn't have.
He's not the better manager.
Of course he wouldn't. Allegri wouldn't. Many of these top managers who have reputations are not going to come in and be restrained and look at what we've got for the last 10 years and think, I'll work with that. No chance.
Let me tell you something as well. I said it at the time. When Ancelotti came to Everton, people said, is Ancelotti the right manager? Is Ancelotti the right manager? The thing about Ancelotti was, it wasn't about whether Ancelotti was right for Everton. It's whether Everton was right for Ancelotti. And what I mean by that is Everton are in a position now where they're moving to the next level in everything they're doing. You know, they're building a football club, they're building a stadium, Everton had to step up. You know, Ancelotti came as the winner. Let's not be honest. Everton hadn't won a trophy since 25 years. So Ancelotti came as the winner. Everton had to aspire to him, not the other way around. And that's the difference, you know. And it's not just about a manager. And this is getting right back to the very first question when we started an hour and 25 minutes ago.
It's like a proper live radio show here, Al. Yeah, we're going for the 2 hours.
We're going for the 90 minutes.
But we've come full circle, because what we're saying is it's about the situation. And as everyone in this group has commented, you know, there are mitigating circumstances for both managers, you know, and you know, I just think it's a year is just too fast to really say what they're going to do. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Cheer up, PG.
I'm fine. Well, I'm not fine because 10 minutes before we've started playing, our PM decided to put us all in tier four and we can't see anyone at Christmas. So don't even start me, because then Arsenal go and lose at Everton. It's not been the best Saturday evening for me.
Well, listen.
I can't see my parents on Christmas Day and I'm fucking fuming. I mean, but this is not about that. And then Arsenal go to Everton and do exactly what I actually thought was going to happen.
And look, I've been asked to read out this message and I'm going to put it back up on screen, because spare a thought. Right. I think Ian may have come on the show before. He's like, "Hi, Sophie. I'm a Darlington FC fan. We were made bankrupt in 2011, reformed in 2012, have had three promotions and are currently a fan-owned National League North club. We were demoted four leagues."
Wow.
We have, Ian, we feel for you and Darlington fans and other fans like you, because it's these smaller clubs across our great country that are suffering the most right now. Let's not forget how lucky we are to be Arsenal fans and what we've seen and what we've experienced. And these small, this is why a lot of people and my family are turning to support in Barnet and Leighton Orient. And we've talked about it before on the show, haven't we, guys? Talked about it with James, actually, I think, about supporting local smaller clubs. Right. And Al, you've seen this at your local level too, haven't you?
Let me just tell you a quick story about an employee of Macclesfield Town. And when they had the problems and they wanted the players to not have their wages, you know, not a deferral, they just wanted them to not be paid for the, and this guy, I won't say who it is because it's not fair, he was on $9,000 a year in the job that he does at the club. Grand a year. And he said, "I'm more than willing to take a 50% pay cut if it helps my club." And that for me was just incredible. And it just shows what this game means to us all at that level and right through. I started my career doing non-league football, you know, grassroots football. And it's just fantastic, you know, to hear Ian, you know, coming on there and talking about his club, and he still has a massive love for Darlington. It's fantastic.
I love it too. Brilliant stuff. And KC, I mean, you've watched your boys play at certain levels in the game as well,
the youngest lads at Buxton.
Buxton, that's right.
Been involved with Radcliffe FC, and all that as well. So, you know, it's the proper salt of the earth. You could have a pie and a pint beside the pitch, you know, that type of thing. Proper community football. It's so, so important. And you know what? For the community, it is key to some people, because that's the only time they really get out and socialise. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that these clubs get looked after.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Well, listen, Al, as ever, you have been absolute top shelf.
I loved it.
Oh, we love you. We just love you.
Always a rich, engaging, great football conversation. And we really appreciate you coming on and sharing an hour and a half of your Saturday evening away from your family with us. For sure.
And you know, Al, that when we're out of COVID and football gets back to normal, I'm coming to Goodison Park to sit between you and Kev. It'll be the best afternoon you've ever had, honestly. Yeah.
Listen to her, Casey. Best afternoon Al's ever had.
We'll just laugh the whole time.
It'll be the best bookmarks you've ever seen.
A rose amongst two thorns.
Exactly.
Oh, no, man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Big Al. Big Al, honestly. Really appreciate you, mate, as always.
Thanks, guys. Loved it. Absolutely.
Thanks,
loved
Al.
It.
Take care,
thanks
mate.
For joining us. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
I'm going to say before anyway.
And I will as well.
I'm going to say Yerry Christmas, but I won't, you know.
Oh, you've just ruined an hour and a half. That loving's gone.
I just removed him.
That bugger.
Oh, come on, he's been fine. If I was on an Everton pod and we'd beaten them 2-1, I would do a little something.
Oh my god, that was an epic exit though, by the way. That was very, very good. All right, kids. Listen,
you know, brilliant. I'm so top to work with, honestly. Such a lovely man who knows his thing.
Top shelf stuff. Okay, so here's the scoop, you guys. We are going to be, there's going to be an announcement tomorrow, but we may as well let everybody know today. On December the 23rd, by the way, Casey's already refused our invitation, but Amanda and I are hosting the not-so-cancelled Highbury Squad Christmas party.
Yeah, we may even have some plonk. For young people, that means alcohol, and I don't really drink. So I might even have a glass of something. And if I have a glass of something, I get drunk very quickly, and God knows what I'm going to say.
Fire the questions in, everybody.
You all need to wear your Christmas hats, and we want pictures of you in your Christmas hat, because I'm going to have a Christmas hat on.
Look, Newman wants us to have a row. He's like this.
No.
He's like, can
Sophie,
you please?
You're out of order.
Kevin, why are you listening to me?
No, both of you.
But no, please join us. We're going to be back before. Oh, I think we've got, what's tomorrow? Sunday. We're not back tomorrow. We'll be back Monday. I think we'll be back pretty much every day next week. But we're having our Christmas party on the 23rd from 9 o'clock till 11 p.m., people.
Might go later.
Come join us. We're going to have some of our show favourites swinging through, a few surprises for you, some giveaways as well. And look out on Twitter for the official announcement tomorrow. And whether you drink or not, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a drinker to come to the party. You can be teetotal as well. Super Kev, are you still declining the invitation?
Yeah.
All right, we'll party without you.
We're going to have
a busy boy.
I know. I can't wait for Kevin Says after this one, by the way. This is going to be a good one next week. And then Musa, we're going to make the T-shirt. This is going to be the T-shirt, PG. This is going to be our first swag. Copyright, Super Kevin Campbell right
we
here.
May even sing. We may even sing some Christmas songs linked to Arsenal.
Yes.
Playing in a Bergkamp Wonderland, you never know.
Wow, look, I didn't even know about that one. Look at PG being all creative. Right, Super Kev, what are you doing in Spain tonight? Are you flying home or are you staying for another game tomorrow?
I'm going to do tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Well, good luck with that and then travel home safe. Look forward to Kevin Says. Yes, they've turned us all into alcoholics, to be honest with you. Thank you, Big Up. We love you guys so much. Thank you for joining us. We'll give you the agenda for next week, probably late tomorrow. But Wednesday night is party night where we just let our hair down and say, you know what? Life is so bloody bizarre. 2020 has been an absolute shithousery. And you know what? We're just going to get together and try and be as positive as we can and have a little bit of fun. And until then, Amanda?
Always Arsenal.
That was a bit limp tonight. Do it again.
Oh, was it? I thought it was quite good. All right. Always Arsenal. Always.
Come on, you gunners.